Say this with me. It's okay not to be okay. Come on, let's say it one more again. It's okay not to be okay. But now listen, it's not okay to stay not okay. Did I put that up there? Yeah, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay. But that's kind of hard to say. You think it's not? Say it with me. It's okay. Oh, I'm so glad y'all are here this morning. I'm glad everybody's got a willing mind and an ear to listen today. I'm glad we're here together, and I'm going to share this message with you. I feel like it's something that God has put on my heart quite some time ago, and I've been thinking about it for a while, and then finally this couple weeks ago, I just felt like God began to stir this up inside of me to preach it. And so I want to talk to people today. You know, not everybody's okay, but sometimes we're afraid to say we're not okay. Come on now. I'm gonna. Can I be your pastor this morning? Can I give you pastoral instruction today? All right. And I just want to make sure that you understand. I didn't come to offend anybody today. All right. I didn't come to see how many people I could make mad. I didn't come to tell you to try to see if I could offend somebody and make you quit the church. I did come with a word that I believe is going to help more people than it will offend people. Thank God. Okay. So listen to this clearly. It's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. You know why? Because God doesn't want to leave you in that condition. God doesn't want anybody falling apart. God doesn't want you to remain not okay all the time. Say this with me. Healing is a journey. And God will walk with you through that journey. You don't have to walk alone, but it is a step. It is a walk. How many knows we live by faith, but we live by one step at a time. God never meant for anybody in here to stay stuck, but he intended for us to move. Now, some move more slowly than others. Have you noticed that some children mature faster than others do? And in the body of Christ, some people mature faster than others do. And some people have a hard time grasping some things. But what do? We continue to teach. We continue to teach. We continue to feed. We continue to give the word. And hopefully people will grow with this. But listen, growth requires honesty. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It's okay to admit you're not okay. Because God meets us right where we are. God's not responsible to meet you where you're not. But where you are is where God will meet you. And God doesn't want us to stay where we are right now. He wants us to advance beyond where we're at and get to a place where it's okay. It's not okay to stay that way. Okay? And so here's my thought today. Church, we need to be honest, we need to be authentic, and we need to be real. We have put on a show, and we have tried to impress people with how spiritual we are. But I want to tell you something. We need to be honest sometimes about the things that we're going through. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We need to be honest with one another. And there's a couple reasons, listen closely, there's a couple reasons why people hold back on that. You know why? Because many people aren't good at keeping secrets. How many knows we have blabbermouths? Oh, not in this church. Listen, I'm not talking about Solid Rock online, folks. No, there's blabbermouths. And when you tell somebody something in confidence or just that you're hurting, you'd like to keep it between the two of you, but sometimes we don't tell because we know that somebody's going to tell everybody, right? And we need to learn not to tell. How many knows the Bible's got a lot to say about discretion, about being a babbler, right? Everybody's got a story, but it's their story to tell. It's not your story to tell. It's their story. It's not your story. You have no business telling their story unless they've given you permission to tell their story. Amen? Amen. We ought to know by now we shouldn't be telling other people's business. Right? We shouldn't be talking about other people's business. Unless they say it's okay to, right? And I think the other reason why people aren't totally honest a lot of times is because we've been taught that if you're a person of faith, you will never go through anything. Did you hear me? I'm going to take my time this morning, lest I be misunderstood. Well, if we're a person of faith, we will never have struggles. If I've ever said that from this pulpit, I sincerely apologize. If you think I said something like that and I didn't say that, I don't apologize. I can't help what you read, but I can help what I say. I don't believe I've ever said that if you're struggling, you have a problem with faith. Pastor Rhodes is teaching this morning. We've taught that to be positive and that everything is always all right and there's nothing wrong with being positive. But listen, I think we need to find a balance to where we're not lying to people or we're not deceiving people or trying to make everybody think we're okay when we're not okay. Number one, if you're taking notes or pictures, it's okay to admit you're not okay. It's okay. If anybody in this church comes to you and chews you out, just let me know. Just let me know, and I'll tell Lou, and he'll take care of it. Yeah. If somebody says, I'm struggling, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for somebody to say, well, let me pray for you. Let me help you. Not, if you'd just get in the Word and grow up a little bit and believe the Word, then you'd be all right. That's not what they're looking for. If somebody says, I'm not okay, they're probably wondering, would you at least pray with me or help me through this situation? Am I okay today? Is this okay? There's a lot of people that are lonely. There's people sitting next to you today that you may not even have any idea that, you know, that like they're almost living a hidden life because they don't feel like they can say, I'm having a rough day. I'm having a rough time. I'm not doing so good today. I'm hurting today. Well, if somebody's hurting, why would you want to put them down? Why not say, can I just pray with you? Because I'm going to tell you something, in every situation, there is a but God. I'll cover that in just a minute. In every situation, there is a but God. There is a helping hand in every situation. How many's noticed this? Be honest with me this morning. How many's ever come into church and you ask somebody, how you doing? What's the first two or three answers? I'm fine. What's another one? I'm tired. What's another one? Oh, I'm great. I'm blessed and highly favored. And you know, I know that sometimes these are professions of faith, but really, you stink. Really, you're hurting. Really, you're going through something. Do you know you don't have to have a psychology degree to look at somebody and know when they're going through something? Now, a lot of people are good at hiding their feelings, but generally you can always tell. Everybody says, I'm good, I'm fine, all is well, I'm great. But you know what? It finally dawned on me that not everybody is always okay. Huh? They're not always good. But we've created an atmosphere, and if it's only at Solid Rock, we need to clarify it, fix it, and resolve it today, that not everybody is always okay. But if they're afraid to say, then we're not helping them. We're family. We are. Sing it, Carissa. We are family. You know what, Pastor? I'm going through some stuff right now. Rather than me rebuke them, how about me taking them by the hand and saying, you know what? Let's pray and take that to the Lord in prayer. Huh? We can still be positive and tell people the truth. We can still be word people and tell people we can help people, right? Is this okay so far? Okay. How about, hey, I understand you're hurting. I understand you're going through some things. You know, and I'm gonna. I hope they don't get offended at me. And I don't believe Alex will. But you know, Alex sometimes. And Alex will be the first to tell you. Sometimes he comes in and he don't look okay. Right? Am I right, Dara? Sometimes he's hurting. Sometimes he's having a battle. Sometimes he's going back and dealing with something in the past, or dealing with something that, you know, even though you've been delivered from something, how many knows you can still be attacked in that area? Even though you've been delivered from something, you can still be attacked in that area. Satan comes back again. Even with Jesus, it said he came back for a more opportune time. And sometimes Alex will come in and I'll say, how you doing? And I know he's not okay. But maybe he says I'm okay because he don't want me to bop him over the head with a 8x10 Bible. We need to be truthful. Pastor, I'm having a rough day. I'm having a difficult time. And that's all right. That's why we're here, to encourage one another. We need some Barnabases in the church that will encourage one another rather than put them down all the time. I really believe there's going to be more people helped with this little simple sermon today than will be offended. Amen. I understand. Alex, I understand you're going through something. And I love you enough to take you by the hand, and I'm going to pray with you. And let's believe God together. But if he never says anything, listen, folks, if people are, oh, I'm great, I'm all right, I'm okay. People say that because they don't want you to think they're not okay. We have to be able to tell the truth without fearing people judging us. God is not responsible to bless us if you're pretending. Okay. Can I tell you something? We all go through things. We all go through things. I said, we all go through things. You're even afraid to say amen, aren't you? Listen. I'm telling you the truth. We all go through things. Everybody in this building, everybody listening online, everybody that's listening on the website, listen, we all go through things. We all go through things. If somebody says, I had a rough week, why would we judge them for having a rough week? Come on now. And the bottom line is, if we were really honest, we could probably all say sometimes it's been a rough week. It's not always peanut butter and jelly. And sometimes we don't want, here's another reason why we don't tell people, is because of pride. But the pride is because we don't want somebody to think we're not a faith person, or we don't believe the word of God, or that God doesn't answer prayer. Now, let me give you the flip side to this real quick, then I'll come back to that. The opposite of that is people that complain all the time. You ever met anybody like that? I try to avoid people like that. I really do, man. If I know I'm going to get an organ recital, I will avoid them. There are some people that you can meet and greet, and they'll never have a good word to say about anything, about anybody, or themselves. They complain about everything they're going through, and they don't just tell you once. They'll tell you 10 or 20 times. Everybody say balance. Balance is a good thing. Authenticity. Authenticity is letting go of who we think we are supposed to be and becoming who we truly are. It's okay to be real with one another. Can I hear an amen? Now, I understand some people you may not want to be real with because you know they're not going to keep your, not necessarily a secret, but they're going to blab to everybody how much lack of faith you have. If you ever tell my wife, I'd love to tell you something, but can I be guaranteed that you won't tell anybody? I won't tell you what she's going to say. Absolutely. If you ever tell her anything and you tell her it's private, she won't even tell me. She knows things that I don't even know. I had no idea about Lisa Looney. you can confide in Darlene and she would not, she'll take things to the grave with her. You'll never know. Your secrets are safe with Darlene. But isn't it sad that some people live with 40 years of loneliness, grief, mental torment, suffering, and everything else that goes on because they couldn't find anybody that they trusted to tell their woes to? Amen? How many know sometimes just talking about it is a great release? Yeah, just talking about it. Do you know why people go to counselors and pay $125, $150 an hour to talk to a counselor? Because they know by law that that counselor cannot tell anybody. So they can tell them whatever they want to tell them. And do you know what? It's not always the information that the counselor gives that helps the person. It's the person getting it all that stuff off their chest. I'm not putting down counselors. I think it's a great profession, and I thank God we've got one in our church here. We've got a professional counselor here in our church. But listen, the bottom line is you got to tell what's wrong before anybody can help you. Everybody say amen. 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 So we should all have some way of being honest without sounding like we don't have any faith, without sounding like we're negatives. And sometimes we are fine. Sometimes we are fine, but I don't care how spiritually mature you are, it's been my experience that most of us have weak days, W-E-A-K. We have weak days from time to time. It may not be real often, but we do have weak times, don't we? So it's okay to admit you're not okay. Jesus never asked anybody to pretend. It's quiet in this Pentecostal church today. This is a Pentecostal church, right? It's quiet in here, Becky. Can you shout amen? Yeah. No, yeah. Amen. How do you say amen? Amen. Amen. Come on, everybody say amen. Amen. All right. Let me remind you that some of the greatest breakthroughs in the ministry of Jesus was when people cried out for help. You remember blind Bartimaeus? Had he not cried out, Jesus would have just kept walking by. Come on. But blind Bartimaeus cried out. He said, what do you want? What do you need? Oh, that I might receive my sight. He had to cry out to get the attention of Jesus. How about David the woman with the issue of blood? Remember, she had to push through the crowd. She had to get to where Jesus was at. How about David that wrote all the Psalms? Do you remember his Psalms about grief and sorrow and lonesome and no hope? And all? David actually wrote those things. We've been watching the series, David. I don't know how many of you are. The season 2 is out, and it is so good. But listen, even Jesus in Gethsemane said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Jesus said that. How about when he said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, that's about as bad as it can get when you know your heavenly Father's forsaken you, right? How about the great man Elijah? One day he's doing mighty miracles on Mount Carmel. The next time you hear from him, he's in a cave somewhere wanting to kill himself. We all have ups and downs. We all have good days, but we also all have days that it's not so good. And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I really had a hard week. I would appreciate your prayers. Is this helping anybody today? This would be a good time to just say, this is good, Pastor. How about, I know it's been a rough week, but I know something good is going to come out of it. I know something good's coming out of it. I've had a rough night. I didn't sleep last night. It was just a horrible night. But I believe something good's going to come out of all this. Amen. There's at least 20 but gods in the scripture. You'll find that some of the greatest men of God that we read about, that we study, that we admire, told the truth about how they were feeling and what they were going through. But they also had a but God in there. Amen. So what do you think so far? Sound okay so far? Okay. Oh, I like this. God does not bless the version of you that you pretend to be. Did I write that down? No? I'll say it again. God does not bless the version of you that you pretend to be. He meets you in your place of truth. Everybody say honesty. Honesty is holy. Honesty is healing. And honesty is the first step towards hope. It's okay to say I'm not okay. You just don't stay in I'm not okay. Right? Does that make sense? So number one, it's okay to admit you're okay. Number two, God meets us in our not okay. I know this is not proper English, but you have an improper pastor today. God meets us in our not okay. Look at Psalms 34, 18. The Lord is close to those, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Notice what it does not say. The Lord is close to the strong. The Lord is close to those that have everything figured out. No, it's the broken. It's the weary. It's those that are barely holding on. You may have come in this morning and you're just barely holding on. Your world is falling apart and you can't even come up for prayer because you feel like people's going to say something or people's going to be nosy or people's going to blab it or somebody's going to think you have no faith. Those days are over at Solid Rock. Did you hear me? Your weakness is not a disqualification. It's an invitation of God's strength. Your weakness is not a disqualification. It's an invitation to God's strength. When you say, I'm not okay, God says, I know, but I'm right here with you. Number three, it's not okay to stay not okay because God has more for you. God has more for you. Listen to me. God accepts you right where you're at, but he loves you too much to leave you there. Right? He accepts what you're, he accepts you even though you're going through things, but he loves you too much to leave you there. That's why I said God has more for you. The gospel is not about staying stuck, but the gospel is about moving forward one step at a time. He didn't just come to save you from sin, but he came to save you from being trapped in that same old emotional, mental, spiritual place. Amen. Man, this is good. This is good. Jesus never met a broken person and left them broken. Jesus never met a sick person and left them sick. The lame walked, the bound were set free, the fearful found courage, and the lost were given direction. How many knows healing is not instant? Healing is progressive. There are some healings that are instant. We call that miracles, right? Some are instant miracles. But most healing is one day at a time, one step at a time. I mean, you may have hands laid on you, and you feel the power of God begin to move in you, and by the time you get home, you're healed. That's great, and I love those type of testimonies. But sometimes you have to live it out. You got to step it out. Amen? So, number four, growth requires courage, honesty, and a next step. Growth requires courage, honesty, and a next step. Now, it doesn't say a next leap. Just have to take a step. Remember I said a while ago, healing comes in steps. Doesn't the Bible say the steps of the righteous man? Not the leaps, not the jumps, not the bounds. Just the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. The steps, one day at a time. Remember that song? Was it Kris Kristofferson that sang that? One day at a time? No, who was it? One day at a time, sweet Jesus. I don't know. Anyway. So you don't have to leap. It's just one step. You know what the deal is? I'm better today than I was yesterday. I haven't arrived, but I'm believing God that I'll be better tomorrow than I am today. It's one step at a time. That doesn't mean you lack faith. Listen, I know people that have preached faith for 50 years and died of heart attacks. I do. I am a faith person. I am a word person. I believe in speaking the word. I believe in saying what the word says. But I also know that some people aren't there. And so what we do is we say, pray for me that I'll be better tomorrow than I am today. One step, one day at a time. I'm not going to stop preaching healing just because I get sick. I'm not going to stop preaching God wants to prosper me just because I don't have a penny in my pocket. Because that doesn't change the word. Somebody shout amen. 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 Where am I at? What did I say next? What did I say last? Number four. Did I say number four? Okay. Becky, do you have my notes over there? Okay. Keep me on track, girl. Growth requires courage. Did I say that already? Honesty. I haven't even got there yet. Pray for me. I'm not feeling so good right now. Oh, I like this. I got to say this. Wow. This is powerful. You might want to write this down, Roth. A seed doesn't look like much, but it carries a tree inside of it. That's why it has small steps. One day at a time, little steps. It may not be a big overnight healing, but one day, don't despise the day of small beginnings. I'm better today than I was last week or last month. Is that all right? You don't have to be all better in one day or when church is over. That's our desire, but listen, the fact is, some people aren't all better. Hopefully they're a little better. And the next time you come, you're a little more better. And as revelation comes, as the truth comes, and you open up your heart and it begins to be deposited, you begin to get that revelation of who you are in Christ. Man, this is so good. I'm probably preaching to myself. Discretion. Remember what I said a while ago? Proverbs has a lot to say about discretion. Did I give you a definition? The quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. Would you all want to read that with me out loud? Just because when you hear yourself read it, it'll help you to understand. Let's read the word discretion means what? The quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. Discretion. We could all use a dose of discretion. Amen. Who said that? Who said that so loud? Okay, now listen, I'm about to get into an area that's going to shock some of you. I'm going to read this lesson so I get it right, the way I wrote it down last week. I wonder how many people take medicine for anxiety or depression or some other kind of emotional difficulty that would not dare tell anybody because that particular area has a stigma attached to it like no other. Who said that, Tiffany? Tiffany said, I don't care, I'll tell you. I don't care, I'll tell you. When I ride with Dad, I have to take antidepressant pills. Listen, you wouldn't have any problem telling somebody you're taking blood pressure medication. You wouldn't have any problem telling somebody that you take cholesterol medication. Hello? You wouldn't have any problem telling somebody, well, you know, I take insulin for my sugar diabetes. Come on. But we don't want to tell anybody that we're taking medicine because I have a bipolar disorder. We're not going any further till I get about 100 more amens. Because I'm telling you the truth. We don't want somebody's going to think less of us if they think I'm taking anxiety medication. They think, well, he's not very spiritual if he has to take he's got a bipolar disorder. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, Pastor, would you please say something about bipolar medication because I'm afraid to say anything because I'm always being judged if I say something. Are you with me? Are you with me? Listen. You see these things here on my head? You know what that's called? Glasses. Do you know why I wear glasses? Where'd everybody go? Come on back. Church is not over. The reason I wear glasses is because everybody looks blurry. Yeah, y'all look the same. What am I saying? My eyesight is not 20/20. I don't know what perfect eyesight is, but I don't have perfect eyesight. So I wear a prescription. Did you hear me? A prescription glass to help me see you better. So if I see you talking or sleeping in church, right? That doesn't mean I don't have any faith. If I take an aspirin every day because the doctor says I need to, what do you call it? Thin my blood. Does that mean I don't have any faith? Does that mean I'm a failure? Does that mean I shouldn't be preaching? Does that mean I need to hear a message on faith? What if I told you I take OCD medication? What would you think? Oh, our dear God, our pastor. You know, OCD means obedient Christian disciple, right? OCD. That's why I take OCD, because it makes me an obedient Christian disciple. Or it could also mean only craves dessert. Or it could mean overly decaffeinated. Overly caffeinated, dude. God works in different ways. And who are we to judge somebody because they take something? You know, one of the areas that churches don't like to talk about is emotional disorder. Mental illness. We don't like to talk about people, you know, because somebody, there's such a stigma to that. Only because you have put that with that. You've associated that with that. You might be surprised how many people in this church take medicine for anxiousness or hyperactivity or calm-me-down pills. You know, calm-me-down pills, you know, people take stuff like that. You know why? My wife said, if I don't get on something, she said, she's going to tell the doctor on me. Guess what? I didn't do anything. Guess what she did? She told the doctor on me. Guess what the doctor did? He wrote out the prescription. And now I'm easier to live with. Do you know that your emotions can be damaged just like your bodily parts can? Why do we have this stigma? Or because we're a faith church, we put people down because they don't have the revelation you have, or believe like you believe. Or listen, we're a multifaceted congregation here. We got a lot of different levels of maturity here. Is that okay? Your emotions can be damaged just like any other organ can. Let me tell you a little bit about me. In 2016, I was 66 years old. 2016. And for the first time ever, I had to go to the hospital. First time in my life I was ever admitted to the hospital. Do you think that I felt really like a hypocrite? Here I am preaching faith, I preach healing, and now I'm in the hospital at 66 years old. I had a procedure done that found out that my colon had some cancer in it. And so my, what you call it, guy, decided to put me in the hospital and cut out that bad part of my colon. So they cut it out, they sewed it back together, and all is well. You're right, yeah. So I was in the hospital. They called it a colon resection. You know, did that mean I didn't have any faith? Does that mean I was a failure as a pastor? Does that mean I let everybody in the church down? Come on, church. Who gives us the right to put people down because they're in the hospital? In 2021, I had stenosis of the aorta. Don, where are you at? Don. She's in the nursery. Okay. I had stenosis of the aorta. That was a bad heart valve. 2021. That wasn't that long ago, right? I had surgery. Got it repaired. I'm doing good. I can run up steps. Yeah, I can. Who said real? I can run up steps. I can run around the church, and my heart's not beating out of my head or out of my heart or my chest, right? So does that mean I'm not a faith preacher because I was in the hospital? Where do we get this type of teaching from? In 2021, I had a torn meniscus, and I had surgery on my knee. And I stopped running around the church and up steps for a couple weeks. We got too many preachers in this church. For 2 years now, 2 years now, my urologist at the Mercy Hospital has been telling me that I have cancer in my prostate. Does that mean I'm not a person of faith? Does that mean I'm a failure as a believer? Does that mean I'm not trusting God? I'm not believing God? Does that mean no? I will still preach Jesus is the healer if they have to take the sucker out. Right. Listen, church, stop being so judgmental. Stop being hard on people. I'm not compromising what I've been preaching for 50 years. I'm not compromising for 1 minute the word of the Lord. I'm just saying that things happen and sometimes we got to deal with things. I can name you names of guys that used to put people down for being sick and now they're in the grave. Guess what? We're all going to die. We're all going to die. I'm on grace right now. You know, if God promised 70, then that's 70 years. I'm on the grace living right now. Now, I've heard people say, well, now I'm going to be like Moses. I'm going to live to 120 years old. You don't know how many times I've heard people say that. I'm going to live to be 120 years old. Do you know I don't know one person that's lived to be 120 years old. Now, if you want to believe that, that's okay, but just don't put people down if they die at 80, okay? You can believe God for whatever you want, but just don't be judgmental on other people. Come on, church. I believe I'm helping some people today. Now, Darlene, on the other hand, has been to the hospital so many times and had so many that you have to have a calculator to fill it all out. You can't, but she's been through so much more than I have. But guess what? You'll never find a woman any stronger in faith than that little girl right there. Hello? You know what she says when the doctor says that, you know, this is not good? You know what she says? All is well. All is well. Tiffany got it tattooed on her wrist, all is well, even with her mother's handwriting. Well, that's the way it looks on her. Our granddaughter got it tattooed on her wrist, all is well, because that's what grandma says all the time. I'm not going to be moved by the report. All is well. All is well. I may have cancer, but cancer don't have me. Hear me, Lisa? That's all is well. Well, what if I have to go to the hospital? Well, what if you do? This didn't knock God off the throne. God didn't take a vacation and leave you godless, right? Come on. But here's the problem. We tell people what we're dealing with, and people don't have the common sense not to put it on social media and tell everybody. Huh? This would be a good time for somebody to clap and say praise the Lord right now, huh? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's Paul. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles. The what? Say it again. The troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under what? Great pressure. far beyond our ability to what? Endure. So that we what? We despaired of life itself. Look at those next three words. But this happened. Well, we can stop right there. But it happened. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, and we'll continue to deliver us. I will need more deliverance in the future, and he will always be there to deliver us. Y'all get that this morning? Paul said, I've been through so much, I didn't know if we were going to make it or not. But it happened. Come on, church. Say it with me. But it happened. But it happened. In other words, here's the facts. Here's the facts. But God. How many knows they didn't? He wasn't involved in some kind of sin. It wasn't a bad confession. It wasn't a negative confession. It wasn't anything that he'd done anything wrong. It wasn't because the Apostle Paul didn't have faith. He said, God let us go through this so that we would have enough sense to know that it's not us, but God that gets us through life. If I'm helping anybody, shout amen. Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed. You know what perplexed means? Confused. Didn't know what to do. But we were not in despair. We were persecuted, but we were not abandoned. We were struck down, but we were not destroyed. You know what? Sometimes we do get struck down, don't we? That don't mean we stay down. Sometimes we are perplexed. Amen? If this is helping you, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to stop teaching faith. I'm not going to stop teaching keeping the confession right. I'm not going to stop teaching people to be positive, because that's the answer to our problems. That's the answer. But that doesn't alleviate us from going through things, because we all go through things. You say, Brother Roach, I'm just so spiritual. I'm such a word guy that I never go through anything. You know what? I disagree with you. I've watched some of you come into this church and you sit like a knot on a log because you're going through something. You all bulled up about something because you're going through something, but yet you say, I don't go through anything. Thou body says something else. Thy body is saying something else. Amen. Number five. Here we go. Are you ready, Becky? Number five. Keep moving, keep preaching, and keep trusting. I'm almost finished. Keep moving, keep preaching, and keep trusting. Maybe you are stuck. Maybe you feel like I'm stuck in a hole. Maybe you feel empty. Maybe you feel broken. Maybe you feel beyond repair. But there's hope for you. There's hope for you. If you're still breathing, God's not finished with you. Everybody go. You know what that means? God's not finished with you. God's not finished with you. Look at this. Your struggle is not your identity. Your pain is not your future. And your setback is not your permanent home. Your setback is only a setup for the Lord to come and, I don't know what the next word is. Somebody help me. Stir it up. I don't know. But your setback is only a setup for God to come in and fix it. Amen? So just keep moving. Even if you're moving slow, keep moving. That's what they tell you in rehab. When you've broken something or you're trying to bounce back, they'll say, if you can just take two steps at a time. Use an orthopedic surgeon, nurse. You know what they tell them. They just take a step or two. Just do what you can. Move it a little bit. If your hand's trembling and shaking, you know, just keep trying to just do what you can do. Your pain is not your future. Your setback is not your permanent home. Keep reaching. Keep trusting. I'll ask the worship team to come up and give me a fast song. I want a fast song today. Y'all understand fast? Did y'all notice? Did y'all? I got so tickled at this a while ago when Dylan, when Marshall was playing, when he's getting ready to do that song. He came alive. You know that Lynn Cooley song? If I could sing a thousand songs, I will sing a thousand songs or whatever it is, a dance a thousand miles. He got so excited before he ever started singing. He was rocking on that keyboard. He was just going just like this. I mean, that's one of his, he loves Lynn Cooley. So I called Lyndall Cooley one time. I said, Lyndall, I got a groupie here that needs to talk to you. And
he didn't tell me ahead of time. He just called him while I was in the truck with him.
Yeah, he was in the truck with me, and I said, hang on for just a minute. And I called him, and I said, here, Lyndall wants to talk to you. And I tell you what, I thought I was going to have to clean up the mess. But I love it when I see that kind of enthusiasm, you know, getting into what God's called you to do. We're family, church. We're family. If you can't be honest with your family, who can you be honest with? I'm going through something. I'm hurting. I'm facing a financial need. I'm going through a bad marriage. I just need your help. I need your prayer. I'm not here to complain. I just want your agreement. I want your prayer. I'm not here just to tell you how bad I am. I'm telling you because I want your help. But let's stop being so judgmental. And again, let me be your pastor for about another 3 minutes. Let's stop being judgmental with one another. Can we do that? I don't care if it's your spouse, your children, your parents, your pastor, your associates, our leaders, or the person that sits next to you every Sunday in church. Let's stop judging critically. Amen? You say, well, they've got a weakness. Well, who doesn't? Are we all human? We all have a weakness somewhere. There's nobody that's Superman in this place. We all have that weakness somewhere. And if the enemy zones in on that, you might need somebody to help pray with you to get you through it. Is that okay? Don't go correcting people and say, well, you just need to get in the Word. You just need to get in the Word. That's the last thing they need to hear. I mean, it may be something that they need to hear, but the attitude in which you give it is not so loving, right? Stand up to your feet with me, if you would, this morning. I want us to get ready to worship the Lord. So, Solid Rock Family Church, I announce to you this morning, you are free. You are free. Don't be afraid. Alex, don't ever again be afraid to let me know when you're going through something, or anybody else, because we love you and we want you to get through this thing. You're not the only one that suffers with what you deal with. There's a lot of people in this building. They may never admit it, but there's a lot of people that deal with depression and hurt, PTSD, whatever you want to call it. So I guess if somebody's got to get the ball rolling, it'll be me today. Let's be honest with each other. Not because we need to hear a sympathy story, right, Gary? Not because I need to hear how bad you are. Not because I'm going to rejoice with you because you're going through something negative. But because I believe that together, if any two shall agree on earth, for whatever they touch, it shall be done when they take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Everybody okay today? Everybody okay today? You don't have to pretend anymore. You don't have to hide behind your church mask. We're real. We're genuine. Amen. Say this with me. It's okay not to be okay. Let's close our eyes. Father, I've done my very best to deliver what I feel like you laid on my heart for Solid Rock. And I thank you, Lord, that you meet us right where we're at. We don't even have to pretend that we're there because you know the truth. You see us, you know us, and you know if we're telling the truth or if we're pretending. So God, I'm asking you this morning, give us the courage to be honest, not to be complainers, not hypochondriacs, not somebody that's always griping or complaining about how sick we are, but if we're having a rough day, I need somebody to agree with me that we'll get through it together. Give us the strength to take that next step, to be honest with you. And Lord, take us from not okay to okay by the help and grace of one another and your mercy. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
You are the undefeated one.